W1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News. I'm Derek Dennis. Police in Nashville have not identified a motive for Monday's mass school shooting that killed three children and three adults. Investigators say they discovered writings at the shooter's home. ABC's Jacqueline Lee is in Nashville.
Police said in those writings by the shooter that they discovered, that shooter had mentioned other locations as possible places of attack. But now officials are saying that perhaps one of the security systems in place at one of those locations may have deterred that shooter from targeting that specific location.
A vigil will be held tonight to honor the victims. The White House says First Lady Dr. Jill Biden will attend. The FDA has approved the over-the-counter use of the drug Narcan. The nasal spray medication can help reverse the effects of overdoses. The Vatican says Pope Francis will be hospitalized for several days to be treated for a respiratory infection, but the Vatican says it is not COVID-related. The 86-year-old pontiff was taken to a hospital in Rome for tests. This is ABC News. Amazon may be looking to buy AMC Theaters. CEO Jeff Bezos has reportedly dispatched advisors to explore acquisition plans. The world's largest theater chain has struggled since the pandemic. In Paris, a return to normal with garbage collectors suspending their strike, at least for now.
It may be bad news for Ratatouille, but welcome news for Parisians. Garbage collection resuming in Paris, with workers returning to work after more than 3 weeks. The strike was meant to protest the government's plan to raise the minimum retirement age from 62 to 64. The garbage collectors union, though, vowing to keep fighting. Close to 10,000 tons of trash had piled up on city streets, matching the weight of the Eiffel Tower. Another day of nationwide strikes and protests will be held next week. Inez de la Quatera, ABC News, Paris.
King Charles, who postponed his visit to France due to protests, is in Germany. He and Camilla attended a state dinner in Berlin. It's the king's first state visit as the British monarch. I'm Derek Dennis, ABC News.
In observance of National Vietnam War Veterans Day, we'd like to thank the members of our armed forces for their service. Carpenter Ear and Hearing Center, 1808 Alloway Avenue in Green Bay, for all your hearing needs. Nicolet Memorial Gardens, Bay Settlement Road, Green Bay, salutes our veterans of all branches of the military with the Hall of Honor. They understand the burden of losing a loved one.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Republicans in charge of the state budget process for the next several weeks plan to disregard Governor Evers' budget proposal and start from base.
Yeah, non-fiscal policy will all be removed. We've said that already, and we've done that in the past, and so that'll be the way that'll be handled.
Republican Mark Bourne co-chairs the Joint Finance Committee. Work on the next two-year spending plan ramps up this week with briefings from state agency leaders. Wisconsin wildlife officials are urging people to get a state trail pass. Anyone 16 and older who is using a state trail needs to show a pass when a warden asks. The Department of Natural Resources says the $25 annual cost helps maintain state trails. In sports, Wisconsin's basketball season is over after last night's loss in the NIT semifinals. Tonight, the Bucks are at Indiana. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Kids, they're just different than us. They have no inhibitions, consider silverware optional, and can find fun anywhere. And when kids get really sick, they're different than us too. Until now, children diagnosed with blood cancer have been treated like many adults. Not anymore. The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society proudly introduces the Dare to Dream Project, transforming treatment and care through advocacy, education, and the largest global clinical trial for kids with blood cancer. For the first time, a specific treatment can be matched to a specific type of cancer in a specific child. It'll be the biggest medical advancement for little patients in history. Dare to dream with us. Support the Dare to Dream Project and all the work that the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society does at lls.org.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
We stand on the shoulders of women who came before us.
Women who fought for their own financial futures.
And now it's our turn.
Join us. Visit WeSaySaveIt.org and take control of your financial future by saving for retirement.
A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
We stand on the shoulders of women who came before us.
Women who fought for their own financial futures.
And now it's our turn.
Join us. Visit WeSaySaveIt.org and take control of your financial future by saving for retirement.
A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening.
Three, two, one.
Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocate, Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Sometimes the mouth works without the brain attached. I apologize. You know how that works, Dom.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, Crudy.
The happier hump day. Anyways, let's just get started. Dom, you know what I promised to you?
What's that?
I will never drink a cup of Union Bustin' Starbucks Joe. I will never drink that coffee. Now, I'm not a coffee guy, so it's not much of a pledge.
way to go on a ledge, man.
It's like giving up, you know, Rocky Road ice cream for Lent if you hate Rocky Road ice cream. But, Dom, it got contentious on the Hill today. The Schultz guy, the labor-busting CEO of Starbucks, I guess he's, what, chairman of the board emeritus or something. And Bernie Sanders, my dude. Today had a little square off on the Hill, and I believe we've got some of the sound of this, and we've got some coverage of this as well. This is the breaking news, Dom. I find it all over the interwebs. Bernie Sanders laying some lumber. Let's see if we can find the sound. Ah, damn it, I got yesterday's sound here. Let's start with the Bernie Sanders, if we could, E-Bone. Let's go with cut number one, Starbucks violating the labor laws. Cut one.
These violations include the illegal firing of more than a dozen Starbucks workers for the crime of exercising their right to form a union and to collectively bargain for better wages, benefits, and working conditions.
Yeah, but Starbucks doesn't want that. That's bad for their bottom line. Because if you can squeeze the labor, you can squeeze a couple more nickels to the bottom line down.
Well, you don't become a billionaire without squeezing somebody, Crudy. He's very proud of that. Let's hear more from Senator Sanders. They broke the law. Cut two, please.
Judges have found that Starbucks broke the law 130 times across six states since workers began organizing in the fall of 2021.
You know, one thing I have been encouraged by, sort of post-pandemic or sort of concurrently parallel with the pandemic, the revitalization of the unionization effort. Workers taking a little power back, joining together, collectively bargaining. We've been friends, especially with the Teamsters. We've seen some of these service unions try to unionize in Milwaukee. What? Colectivo Coffee. a prime example. And obviously, Starbucks fighting it tooth and nail. But Bernie's always stood with the unions. Talked about it today, cut three.
At a time when 71% of the American people now approve of unions, the highest level since 1965, there has been a major revitalization of the trade union movement in this country.
And one more from Senator Sanders from the hearing today with Starbucks and their board of directors emeritus, Howard Schultz, I believe his name. But here's Bernie, my guy, Bernie Sanders, cut four.
Unless we change the nature of the way our economy works, it is all too likely that our younger generation will have a lower standard of living than their parents.
You know, Dom, when I do drink coffee, I like it like Howard Schultz's heart. Black!
With a little whiskey in there, Crudy?
Or some rum. A little Irish coffee. Bernie Sanders confronts former Starbucks CEO Howard Schultz on company's labor practices. CNN, my source. Senator Bernie Sanders, who has roundly criticized former Starbucks CEO Howard Schultz over the company's blatant attempts to shut down its own workers' unionization efforts, finally got to question Schultz during a hearing about before the Senate Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee today. Over the course of roughly 2 hours, and I think Schultz felt like it was a rough 2 hours, on Wednesday morning, Sanders questioned Schultz, currently Starbucks chairman emeritus, about the company. Those on the left pressed Schultz on the coffee company's labor practices and wondered how the former CEO can claim that the company act lawfully despite the National Labor Relations Board finding that it did not. It broke the law, Dom. Those on the right, by contrast, Dom, painted Schultz as a successful CEO. He's created hundreds of thousands of jobs. He's a job creator, don't you know, Dom? Some taking the opportunity to defend business leaders in general and skipping the questioning entirely. Whose team do you think they're on?
Yeah, right.
Later, one former and one current employee described seeing pro-union colleagues penalized and being punished themselves. Here's a quote. Sanders, my guy, all over the country, workers are struggling. They want to join unions. They want better wages, better working conditions. They want that at Starbucks. I hope that what today has done is to tell Mr. Schultz that the time right now is to do what is legal, to do what is appropriate, to sit down and negotiate a first contract with their workers. Got this one, Dom?
Yeah, Sanders, who accused Schultz of illegal anti-union activities in the past, reiterated on Wednesday that, quote, the fundamental issue we are confronting today is whether we have a system of justice that applies to all or whether billionaires and large corporations can break the law with impunity. Sanders mentioned that Starbucks and the union have yet to sign a contract. Quote, what is outrageous to me is not only Starbucks' anti-union activities and their willingness to break the law, it is their calculated and intentional efforts to stall, stall, and stall. What Starbucks is doing is not only trying to break unions, but even worse, they're trying to break the spirit of workers who are struggling to improve their lives. And that is unforgivable. Senators aren't the only ones who want more answers from Starbucks, CNN reports. During the company's annual shareholder meeting last week, investors voted to approve a proposal that would have the board of directors commission and oversee an independent third-party assessment of Starbucks' adherence to its stated commitment to workers' freedom of association and collective bargaining.
Well, you can make a statement. Doesn't mean you got to live by it, does it? Not when it gets in the way of the bottom line, Dom.
We're going to form a blue ribbon committee. Companies are not required to adhere to proposals that are approved, but if they ignore them, they risk angering investors. The results of the vote were shared in an SEC filing Wednesday after the hearing had wrapped. Starbucks said in its filing that it has a previously announced third-party human rights impact assessment already underway, which includes a review of the principles of freedom of association and the right to collectively bargain. I mean, really? You kidding me? I mean, the NRLB has already said you broke the law. You don't really even need to, you know, form your committee or waste your shareholder dollars looking into that. You already did it. CNN continues.
you waste these shareholder dollars giving yourself plausible deniability, Dom?
Really?
Defendable since positions for future civil suits.
Nearly 300 Starbucks stores have voted to unionize and have been certified by the NLRB. It's a relatively small number compared to the roughly 9,300 company-operated Starbucks in the United States, but union organizers are fighting an uphill battle against the company. 300 stores, we've got to start somewhere. NLRB Administrative Law Judge Michael Rosas recently said that Starbucks had displayed egregious and widespread misconduct in dealing with employees involved in efforts to unionize Buffalo, New York stores, including the first location to unionize. Starbucks repeatedly sent high-level executives into Buffalo area stores in a relentless effort, the judge wrote, which likely left a lasting impact as to the importance of voting against representation, unquote. As a result, the company must reinstate and make whole a number of workers who were let go from locations in or around Buffalo, the judge said. Judge also said that Schultz, the interim CEO, and another company leader must read the notice to employees or be present at a meeting where the rights are read. Stand up and read it, Schultz. When Sanders asked whether Schultz would read the notice, Schultz said, "No, I am not, because Starbucks Coffee Company did not break the law," he said. Schultz said during
his testimony, Bernie's got a heart condition, or Bernie would have been losing his schnizzle on this guy right about now.
He says Wednesday that Starbucks unequivocally has not broken the law. He referred to the judge's findings as allegations, adding that, quote, "We're confident that those allegations will be proven false." Starbucks said in a statement at the time of Rosas's order that it is considering all options to obtain further legal review, adding, "We believe the decision and the remedies offered are inappropriate given the record in this matter." When Sanders asked Schultz to commit to exchanging proposals with the union within 2 weeks of the hearing, he declined to do so, saying instead, "We will continue to negotiate in good faith." Starbucks argues that it is the union that has dragged its feet to the bargaining table. Yeah, come on.
Dominic, there's more. It's like getting 100 speeding tickets and claiming innocence. Later in the morning, Senator Christopher Murphy questioned Schultz on his assertion that Starbucks had been acting legally, saying he was attempting to square Starbucks, and Schultz's claim it had done nothing wrong, with repeated official findings otherwise. It is akin to someone who has been ticketed for speeding 100 times saying, "I've never violated the law," because every single time, the cop got it wrong. You've tried that, Tom. Didn't work the first 99 times, did it? Some senators defended Schultz as a stand-in for business leaders in general. "Mr. Schultz, I applaud you for your success, and I applaud all the CEOs out there for their success," said Senator Mark Wayne Mullen, who a few weeks ago got into a heated exchange with the general president of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, Sean O'Brien, during a help hearing. Senator Mitt Romney threw barbs at his fellow committee members. "It's somewhat rich that you being grilled by people who've never had the opportunity to create a single job. I've got binders of women I've given jobs to, and yet they believe that they know better how to do so." You know, thank God for Republicans standing up for those poor CEOs in big business.
Gertie Schultz, according to The Hill, a three-time Starbucks chief executive who abruptly resigned from his post ahead of Wednesday's hearing, denied Starbucks ever broke the law. When asked if he ever coerced or intimidated workers who considered joining a union, Schultz said he, quote, "had conversations that could have been interpreted in a different way than I intended."
You better do it, or I fire you. Come back, or you're fired.
Business F.
Dear hero, whoever you are, you save lives. I live with sickle cell and the pain and the issues that come along with sickle cell every day. I've had lots and lots of blood transfusions over my lifetime, probably in the hundreds. Blood helps me to be able to live.
My final tour was in Afghanistan in 2008. I was hit June 3rd. The next thing I remember, I woke up in Germany. The doctor came in and said, "We're going to amputate your leg." I had to get a lot of blood transfusion to stay alive.
Because of you, I'm allowed to see my son grow up.
Because of you, I got a second chance at life.
Giving equals living.
Give blood, replenish the supply. Make an appointment to give today by visiting hhs.gov/giveblood. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Saturday and Sunday at 1 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. Lows dip down to about 17 tonight under clear skies. Westerly winds, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Highs level off around 43. Tomorrow, overcast. Cloudy again tomorrow night. A mixture of precipitation likely. Lows around 33. Upper 40s Friday with a chance for scattered storms. Much cooler Saturday with highs in the upper 30s and snow. About an inch of snow tomorrow night through Friday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 32.
Fox Valley, regional and state news and commentary. For us to find common ground, Civic Media.
Occupy didn't start on Wall Street. It started on our street, the Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Join us on the lines, 844-967-2789. Scott Ross going to join us at the bottom of the hour.
Scott Ross, what is his title now? I just called him Angry Twitter Guy.
Angry Tweeter.
That could describe Trump, though.
Yeah, right, right.
One more quick thought, Dom. I love it when Bernie Sanders comes out in public. Starts calling out big business. When you start putting a squeeze on the worker, that should be bothersome to we the people, the broader electorate, the 99% of us that aren't billionaires should really be offended by the fact that the billionaires use their wealth to crush these so-called workers, right? They're the job creators. As long as you work for a sufficiently low wage. And if you try to unionize and collectively bargain, they're going to crush you. Dom, it's always strange to me. What do I hear all the time? There is no such thing as a free lunch. Republicans always say asinine things like that. And literally, during the pandemic, there were a number of free lunch programs. And here's the crazy thing. Right-wingers, conservatives, air quotes, Republicans, they don't give a damn about the outcomes. Because if they ever looked at the policy outcomes, they might be a little more supportive of things like, I don't know, free lunches in the schools. Giving people a little leg up. Giving the worker a chance to earn a little bit more. But let's talk about the...
I mean, food in the belly. You know, you say free lunch. How about offered lunch? Because, you know, like the free education and everything else, it's all got to be paid for. But the question is the investment worth it? Is there a ROI, a return on investment for you Republicans out there? You know, to put a belly full of food in a kid who doesn't have the power to tell his parents how to live.
You know what? Specifically, there is return on that investment. But don't tell the righties. Ben Shapiro specifically tweeted this out. If a child is on the verge of starvation... You must call CPS, not spend hundreds of millions on disproportionately unhealthy lunches, a huge percentage of which are discarded. As it says here, Shapiro is wrong. There's a great deal of evidence that free school lunches reduce student hunger and improve children's health. Conservatives don't necessarily care about good outcomes, though. That's because they don't want good outcomes. They want to police people. The discourse around school lunches is a brutal, disturbing example of the broader carceral logic of right-wing politics. And right now in the state of Wisconsin, we talked about referendums on the ballot. Should able-bodied people have to work for their welfare benefits?
Mike, that's a very good question.
As is currently the law in the great state of Wisconsin.
Right.
A little bit more from this article. Republicans and those on the right believe that government should not be used to help those in need, but to punish and discipline marginalized people. What Scott Walker always used to say, we celebrate the 4th of July, not April 15th, because we celebrate our freedom from the government. Apparently not tax day. I also hear, you know, welfare is supposed to be a trampoline, not a net. Anyways, I read on. School lunches have been studied extensively, and there's little question that they improve health outcomes for children. And contrary to Shapiro's claim that school lunches are unhealthy, research finds that children who receive free school meals are more likely to receive daily adequate nutrition and more likely to eat fruits and vegetables and drink milk. Shapiro also argues that school lunches are economically inefficient. He believes poor families don't exist. There are no poor people, Dom. They don't live in my neighborhood. I don't see them. And if children are hungry, it's because they're being abused and they should be taken away from their parents. Of course, this is ludicrous. Real hunger and poverty do exist in the U.S. There are families that do not have the money to afford both rent and food. There are families who want to care for their children but lack for the resources to do so. And the U.S. government estimates that 12.5% of households with children are food insecure. That's like 1 in 8, Dom. Which means that there are times when they do not have enough food to feed everyone in the family. In most cases, adults feed children first. But even given that, in 6.3% of households, children experience food insecurity. A little bit more, and we'll get to the lines. 844-967-2789. School meal programs are also incredibly efficient. One study found that every dollar spent on school meal programs saves $2 in reduced healthcare costs and reduced poverty. And a Swedish study found free school lunch programs resulted in 3% higher lifetime earnings for the children. And presumably that's 3% higher taxes paid by those kids over their lifetime. Starts adding up to real money. A lot more than a couple of cheese sandwiches in a brown bag, Paul Ryan.
844-967-2789. Let's get some callers in. Jim from Appleton, Wisconsin. You're up. Welcome, Jim. What do you got for us?
Hey, Jim.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, man. Good, man. Sorry I didn't give you much time, but please throw it out there. What do you got for us?
All right. I don't need a lot of time. My first complaint is you guys, they're regressives. They're not conservatives. Or you can do what Todd Alba's gotten and call them regressive conservatives. 1849, slavery's legal. You got that right. And women couldn't vote. The only people that could vote were white men. And the only people that did vote were white property owners.
Well, that's what's got to be preserved. Got to go back to the original constraints.
The good old days
of the
Jim.
White man constitution, Jim.
Yeah, that's what the regressives want to think. But
Jim, thanks for listening. I know there was a but I don't have time to hear it because we got a fine guest coming next. He is Scott Ross. One Wisconsin now, used to be
formerly
aggressive tweeter, absolutely friended the Devil's Advocates and a Gemini, no doubt. Come back. It's always good conversation. Scott Ross and the Devil's Advocates and you, 844-96-PARTY.
News and talk. Up, down, and all around the Fox Valley. This is Civic Media.
ABC News. I'm Derek Dennis. Police in Nashville have not identified a motive for Monday's mass school shooting that killed 3 children and 3 adults. Investigators say they discovered writings at the shooter's home. ABC's Jacqueline Lee is in Nashville.
Police said in those writings by the shooter that they discovered, that shooter had mentioned other locations as possible places of attack. But now officials are saying that perhaps one of the security systems in place at one of those locations may have deterred that shooter from targeting that specific location.
A vigil will be held tonight to honor the victims. The White House says First Lady Dr. Jill Biden will attend. The FDA has approved the over-the-counter use of the drug Narcan. The nasal spray medication can help reverse the effects of overdoses. The Vatican says Pope Francis will be hospitalized for several days to be treated for a respiratory infection, but the Vatican says it is not COVID-related. The 86-year-old pontiff was taken to a hospital in Rome for tests. This is ABC News.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnair. Here's what you need to know. There are three questions on the April 4th ballot. Two of them will expand criteria for setting cash bail. Both candidates running for the state Supreme Court say they support the bail amendment. The Wisconsin Public Defender's Office, though, has criticized the proposal, saying it would expand a flawed bail system where freedom often depends on someone's ability to pay. Others say judges already have the authority needed to protect the public when they set bail conditions. Russia's war against Ukraine isn't winnable for either side, and negotiations need to get underway. That's what Wisconsin U.S. Republican Senator Ron Johnson tells the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel this week. Republicans are divided on whether to continue funding Ukraine's efforts to defend itself from the Russian invasion, which began in February of last year. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell said last month America's security is deeply intertwined with security in Europe. I'm Jane Matnair. This is Civic Media News.
Kids, they're just different than us. They have no inhibitions, consider silverware optional, and can find fun anywhere. And when kids get really sick, they're different than us too. Until now, children diagnosed with blood cancer have been treated like many adults. Not anymore. The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society proudly introduces the Dare to Dream Project, transforming treatment and care through advocacy, education, and the largest global clinical trial for kids with blood cancer. For the first time, a specific treatment can be matched to a specific type of cancer in a specific child. It'll be the biggest medical advancement for little patients in history. Dare to dream with us. Support the Dare to Dream Project and all the work that the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society does at lls.org.
The spring election is Tuesday, April 4th. It's being called one of the most important in the country, with candidates for one state Supreme Court seat on the ballot.
Vote. Then tune to your local Civic Media radio station for coverage you won't find anywhere else.
It kicks off at 7 p.m. with a special As Goes Wisconsin.
Then at 8, News Director Terry Bell has results with reporters checking in from around the state.
Election coverage live Tuesday, April 4th, starting at 7 on your local Civic Media radio station, streaming on the Civic Media app.
We stand on the shoulders of women who came before us.
Women who fought for their own financial futures.
And now it's our turn.
Join us. Visit WeSaySaveIt.org and take control of your financial future by saving for retirement.
A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
I would have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for those meddling devil's advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. We've got an eagerly anticipated guest. Hope he's joining us very, very soon. Scott Ross, aggressive tweeter, friend of ours. In the meantime, you could be our guest, 844-967-2789. We're making sure we've got a connection with Mr. Ross. He's been spending time overseas, Dom. You'll be going overseas quite soon after the election, after the important stuff. Dom's going to Italy or something, right, Dom? I'm sorry, say that again. Going to Italy or something? Paisan?
Yes. Oh, hang on. Yeah, here we go. All right, we're good. Yes, going to Italy, middle of the month. Looking forward to it. Steph and I get a little breakaway. I know Ross is coming, man. I saw him tweeting us out, so I expect he'll be joining us here very shortly. Let me just, while we're waiting for the connection with Scott, I was thinking, as we were talking about the Starbucks and the defense of the CEOs, right? And who was that? I think it was Romney who was just saying something like, these people who've never created a job, yada, yada, yada. And I think, well, that's BS, number one. I've created a few jobs in my life, I understand. Lots of people have, and some people are good at it, some people are not good at it. But the point being is you don't have to physically do something like that in order to have an opinion as to how it should occur. For instance, I'm pretty sure that Mr. Romney is not able to bear children, but I'm sure he has a lot of opinions on abortion. You see where I'm going with this? I'm very sure a lot of these war hawks have never spent any time in the battlefield, but yet they're going to be out there and judging whether or not we should send other people's kids to war. So just because someone was not employed in the private sector in a quote-unquote job-creating capacity has absolutely nothing to do with whether or not they can garner the wisdom to form an opinion as to how workers should be treated. Because no matter what, most people have been a worker, Mr. Romney. And just because you're not on the other side of the equation doesn't mean you don't know what it's like. So when you get your uterus, maybe then you will have an opinion that counts on abortion. Just saying.
You're a little feisty.
I just hate that. Like, really? Like, you have to literally do the stuff yourself. Have a personal experience with A, B, or C prior to casting any sort of judgment upon it. And there's a reason why we have a National Labor Relationship Board, right? There's a reason for that, because big business has been stepping on workers forever. 844-967-2789.
I'm still not clear that we've sent the accurate email address. I'm watching. And I'm like, I don't think it's his birthday, and there's not 41 days in the month of June. Did you hear me, Ebon? You sent the wrong email address, fella. Try again.
Okay.
Eventually, that, Scott that's Ross. What,
okay.
Take another look. He's a Gemini like you and I.
We share Scott. And I and the former guy share a birthday together.
I know you do. That's why. That's
only the super cool and Donald Trump.
And also being a June birthday boy, I knew there were not 41 days in June this year.
No, not 41.
No, still wrong. No. Oh, geez, man.
some troubles here.
We're gonna lose a whole segment to typing in Scott Ross's email. There it is. Send. There we go.
We'll figure it out. Sanders grilling Schultz under oath. And I want to remind people too. Schultz apparently resigned from his position right before testifying. What is that all about? Oh, we're gonna set up some blue ribbon committees to see how we're treating people. You know how you're treating people. And some of the reporting on here, I saw something about the employees wanting to have, you know, some higher wages and the ability to be tipped. Like you can't tip on the credit card right now at the Starbucks. Is that a corporate thing? Because not a lot of people, when you pay with a credit card, want to tip with cash. I'm not clear, but we know how Starbucks has been treating their employees. Otherwise they would not have been what? Ruled to have broken labor laws more than 130 times.
Now you've coffeed at Starbucks. I feel quite confident.
I still do. Yeah. I like a Starbucks coffee every once in a while. Absolutely. No, I prefer to go to like my local chain and get some coffee there, but I'm down with the Starbucks. And some of those, 300 have voted to unionize. Listen, and I'm not a big, you know, I'll never go to that place. The coffee itself is fine. The bean, I'm not a big fan of the bean, but I like the mixes and I like the little fluffy things they do. The macchiatos, although it's not a true macchiato, whatever. I enjoy the coffee. And those people, they're locals, they're working there. They're just trying to earn a living like everybody else. So I don't want people to say, no, don't go there. Go there and support, especially support the unionized ones. Tell them, hey, we hope you unionize. What can I do to help you? Here's a dollar since what, your corporation won't let me put a tip on the credit card as some sort of policy. It just seems a little strange to me. So thank you, Senator Sanders, for standing up once again for working folks. 844-967-2789. Waiting for Scott Ross. In the meantime, Robert from West Allis, you're up. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dom, I get your point. I think it's really interesting, this job creator argument. Remember, we gave away all those tax cuts, and they were supposed to create all these jobs. And where are the jobs, right? Everyone at the time said this wasn't going to happen, and we did not see the jobs out of that massive tax cut that blew a hole in the deficit.
And, you're talking about the manufacturers and agribusiness tax credit that was supposed to be $150 million a year, ended up being over $300 million a year. And if my recollection is accurate, Robert, there was no specific job requirement on the tail end of that tax cut.
Yeah, and when I took economics, my understanding was customers, right, requiring a good and service create a job, not the employer. The employer doesn't create anything. There's no demand for that good or service, and there's no reason to have the position. So I think we've kind of got it all backwards on how the economy actually works.
Oh.
Well, I think we know how it works, Robert, but people like the senator from Utah seem to think they have a better beat on it. Remember, this guy came in there who was a creative destruction, Mitt Romney. So thanks for the call, Robert.
Well, here's a creatively destructive friend of ours. He's Scott Ross, fresh from a trip over the pond. Scott, what's your title now? We put you down for aggressive tweeter.
Hey, Scott. There you go. You can say that. Gemini. Or you can say... You can call me an aggressive tweeter. You can call me a spokesperson has been. Just don't call me late for dinner.
Or the devil's advocates. I apologize. That's on me, probably. Or Evan, but I'll
definitely not Dom.
Not Dom in this case. Now, Scott, you must have been watching from afar, but now you're back on the ground in beloved Wisconsin. State Supreme Court race. Who do you like in this one, Scott?
I mean, I like what Janet Protasiewicz is saying, obviously, from like an ideological standpoint. She's a proven, you know, she's got a proven track record of fighting for community safety. She's, you know, a veteran prosecutor, a lifelong advocate for victims of crime. She's got that kind of experience. Dan Kelly, on the other hand, you know, is a crook and an extremist. And I think he doesn't represent the values of the people of Wisconsin. That said, everybody better be doing the work they need to do, because the Republicans have tended to close pretty strong in these races, and they've definitely shrunk the gap in terms of the money advantage.
And what about his, let's say, resume? I mean, he is an esteemed graduate of the Pat Robertson School of Broadcast, is he not? Renamed Regent University. I know that Protasiewicz caught a little hell from the right because she giggled that both of her opponents, or both of the conservatives, air quotes, well, they're both esteemed grads from Regent University. Does that not make him entirely unqualified? I mean, sorry, I'm not trying college shame, but
we're talking about Regent University, Pat Robertson University, not Liberty University, the Jerry Falwell University. So, yeah, I mean, obviously, like, I think that they fought for a long time in terms of getting accreditation for the law degree. Certainly at Liberty they did. Dan Kelly had no resume other than being a politically connected right-wing ideologue, which is why Scott Walker appointed him to the judgeship, and, you know, why he inevitably lost the first time and why he will lose a second time.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. That's our pal, Scott Ross. He's a tweeter. He's a firebrand. He's got the same birthday as I do, Scott. Great to see you again, man. Also, the state of Wisconsin. I mean, Dan Kelly was involved in what? Providing legal advice to the Wisconsin Republican Party and the RNC over the fraudulent criminal, as we would suggest, elector scheme. And this guy now wants to what? Be put on back on to the Supreme Court. Do you think Protasiewicz has been effective in highlighting that particular part? Do you think people care, Scott?
I mean, this is a threat to, I mean, his actions have been a threat to democracy. I mean, as the January 6th investigation showed, the committee hearing showed, Dan Kelly was extensively involved in conversations about Trump's effort to, you know, subvert democracy, to enact a coup, to, you know, the terrorist insurrection which happened on the state capitol, or I mean on the national capitol. So I think that she's done a good job. I think the allies have done a good job. I think this is You know, anytime you're talking about a threat to democracy, I think that's something that can bring Republicans and Democrats together. Now, certainly there are enough stop the steal people on the Republican side, but I think that those voters in the, you know, I think that some of the voters who broke for Biden, you know, who might have otherwise possibly supported the Republicans, are those kinds of voters that this might target. Because, you know, when it comes down to it, you know, the Republicans are wrong about a lot of things. But like, there are some who believe in fairness, and attacking democracy is unfair in a lot of people's view. But, you know, it'll remain to be seen. I mean, the threat to democracy is real. And having Dan Kelly not on the court, I think, would be an incredible feather in the cap to democracy here in the state of Wisconsin.
Abortion has been a driving force since the midterm, since the overturning of Roe v. Wade last summer, Dobbs, the decision. Scott, I took encouragement from the earlier primary, the Supreme Court primary a couple months ago. At least here in certain parts of the state, we saw record turnout. Dane County, about 36%. Now, that's still anemic in a democracy, but it certainly, to me, indicates that people are aware there is a Supreme Court race. They're aware that abortion is currently illegal in the state, and there's really only one avenue seemingly to change that, and that would be a vote for Janet Protasiewicz. Now, I know you haven't been on the ground, but you got to know what's going on. Scott, how big a driving factor do you think this decision was, this Dobbs decision, to what's going to happen on the 4th?
Well, I think, yeah, no, for sure. And a lot of times, like, especially on the Democratic side, we see people trying to make A to C arguments, right? Like, try to have a bank shot to get to something. This is an A to B argument. If Dan Kelly is on the Supreme Court, we will not be able to overturn the 1849 criminal abortion ban in the state of Wisconsin. If he is on the court, it will not happen. Simple, short, sweet. This guy is in the pocket of the anti-abortion machine. That's why he's got all the money from Uline's. That's why he's got all the money from Diane Hendricks. That's why he's had the endorsement of these groups. And that's why we know the way he is going to vote if given the opportunity to vote to overturn the 1849 abortion ban. You know, Jan, on the other hand, she can't say what she's going to do. But I think, you know, but it seems pretty clear that she is pro-choice, believes in the rights of women to have freedom in their reproductive decisions. And I think that, you know, that's all that I need to know, you know.
Scott Ross, here's what I need to know. We kind of shorted you, man. Can you stick around for a few more minutes? Help us finish the show.
Go for it.
And would you allow us to indulge a few callers if we did so?
Only if they say nasty things to me.
There is a probability. You know, can't just be the host doing all the nasty talk. We got Scott Ross for that. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. Come back with us. Your phone calls could be next. State Supreme Court race in the great state of Wisconsin. If it does not go to Protasiewicz, if there is not a changing of the court, not only will abortion forever, or at least seemingly forever, be banned in this state, there will never be democracy again. Democracy is dead unless you vote for Protasiewicz. And come back and listen to more Scott Ross and the Devil's Advocates, and you on the phones as well, 844-96-PARTY.
Dear hero, whoever you are, you save lives. I live with sickle cell and the pain and the issues that come along with sickle cell every day. I've had lots and lots of blood transfusions over my lifetime, probably in the hundreds. Blood helps me to be able to live.
My final tour was in Afghanistan in 2008. I was hit June 3rd. The next thing I remember, I woke up in Germany. Doctor came in and said, we're going to amputate your leg. I had to get a lot of blood transfusion to stay alive.
Because of you, I'm allowed to see my son grow up.
Because of you, I got a second chance at life.
Giving equals living. Give blood. Replenish the supply. Make an appointment to give today by visiting hhs.gov/giveblood. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life.
VA life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA life insurance.
Here's your updated forecast. Lows dip down to about 17 tonight under clear skies. Westerly winds, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Highs level off around 43. Tomorrow, overcast. Cloudy again tomorrow night. A mixture of precipitation likely. Lows around 33. Upper 40s Friday with a chance for scattered storms. Much cooler Saturday with highs in the upper 30s and snow. About an inch of snow tomorrow night through Friday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 32.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
Advocates, political commentary from the back of the class.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Check us out on the socials on Twitter at Devil Radio, on Facebook at the Devil's Advocates Radio. You can always hit us up on the lines at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, we got a fine guest. He stuck around. We appreciate him doing so. He's an aggressive tweeter, a Gemini, our friend Scott Ross. Scott, got to ask you, off subject. You a baseball guy, man? Opening day tomorrow, Cubs Brewers. Hope Springs Eternal.
So I used to watch baseball with my grandmother. I grew up in Pittsburgh, was a huge Pirates fan. I used to know every middle name of the 1979 world champion Pirates. But in the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s, Pittsburgh went to the playoffs three straight years. And the second year, after the second year, they lost Bonilla. And then there was talk they might lose like three other players the year after. And I made a list and I said, if they lose three of these six players, I'm never going to pay to see baseball again. And they lost all six within 11 months. So I did not pay to see baseball. I don't know the last time I bought a ticket to see baseball. I've gone to see baseball when other people have paid, but I kept my word at least for 25 years. So I am a big fan. I'm not necessarily a Brewers fan. You know, like I get a lot of grief from Wisconsin fans about teams that I like that they don't like. And we always, you know, it always sort of closes with, you know, me making some crack about the Milwaukee Brewers World Series championship trophy case.
You know, I got hell recently because I put something on my Facebook to the effect that Jesus hates the Cubs.
That's fair.
I feel like he does. 844-967-2789. Before we get to the phones, be patient, folks. Scott, I got to ask you.
Go.
Donald Trump was supposed to get indicted like a week and a half ago, at least according to his own claims.
Yeah.
I'm like Farouk Assault over here. I want it now, Daddy, or let's move on to the real indictments, perhaps the one out of Fulton County or one out of Jack Smith in the special counselor's office. You know, the Stormy was big news like 7-8 years ago. But Scott, this one's not going to move the needle politically. And it's not going to put his ass in jail, to my opinion. So why waste the effort? Your thought.
Well, I think that we have to, you know, people have to be held accountable for the wrongdoing. And I would say, like, you know, when the Obama administration did nothing to investigate the war crimes of George Bush that cost us 4,160 U.S. lives in Iraq for the lie in Iraq, I think that when you don't hold somebody accountable, it just makes the next person do something even worse. And I think that we've seen, you know, we've seen the trajectory of criminality because of that. You know, I mean, I just think like actions need to have consequences. And I want to see him in jail too. You know, I'm one of those Twitter creeps that every so often just like has to smack his head and say, what do you have to do to get indicted by Merrick Garland? You know, what do any of these people have to, you know, what is, what is the crime what crimes, you know, because it's incredibly frustrating. And I'm showing that now with my stammering. So I apologize.
That's okay. As far as having accountability, Fox News, at least as it pertains to Dominion, more news continues to come out. They knew what they were saying was bunk. Scott, what do you think will be the end result of this particular case on Fox News and perhaps in journalism as a whole?
Well, okay, a couple things. One, I would not characterize Fox News as journalism. And I think that the tapes, you know, the text messages showed that. We know that they're a propaganda outfit, but it was so stark. You know, if I were the White House, I'd kick them out. I don't think that that kind of operation should have access, because it's not a news outlet, in my opinion. You know, if it goes to the Supreme Court, Fox is going to get its way, because the Supreme Court is controlled by the Republicans pretty hard right now. All supportive of the justices that are, you know, that are on the right there, including the three illegitimate justices put there by Trump. But Dominion's case seems pretty darn. I mean, it's pretty hard to look at what they said about the company, how the company had nothing to do with this. That would seem to be, you know, and Dominion, for whatever, I mean, you know, libel is what, actual malice, reckless falsehood or knowing disregard for the truth. But am I missing that? But it seems like they would be guilty of both of those things regarding this.
You know, I'm glad I burned it down over on Fox News, so I don't have to go through the quandary of being invited back on a fake news source. 844-967-2789. Patrick from Madison, say hi to our friend, aggressive tweeter Scott Ross.
Hey, Scott. Hey, guys. Good show.
Thank you.
I've just got a couple questions here. Well, my boy plays for Stevens Point, my grandson, baseball, so I'm into baseball. But I was up in Wisconsin Rapids in the Point area, and that used to be a big-time Union Blue area. And all I see was this F Biden signs, Kelly, nothing on the other side.
Patrick, how recently was that?
Yesterday.
Pretty recent.
Pretty recent.
They played double headers in Rapids, and I seen nothing, not one sign, nothing. And I know the paper mills have gone out and a lot of stuff like that, but I think some of these people got to get in that area. And that scared me when I seen all this, because they don't have a clue.
Yeah, it is a little scary. Do you appreciate your call, Patrick, and the update from WFHR land. Now, Scott, we are on the radio now. Mm-hmm. In Wisconsin Rapids, and that's only been about a 6-month endeavor. We didn't change the electorate yet. You know, that takes time. It's a glacial thing. How concerned are you? I've been very encouraged by the number of young students I've seen at local get out the vote events, Charlie Barron's Monday night, etc. But when you get out state, it's a whole different characteristic, the state of Wisconsin. It's a couple different states, the rural and the urban. Scott, how worried are you that the rural are going to turn out for Dan Kelly?
Well, the caller brought up some really important things, and that is what kind of communications are happening outside of Madison and Milwaukee, especially when it comes to the Democratic or the progressive side. And, you know, the gerrymandered maps have been incredibly detrimental to, or, you know, not only electorally, but there's not a presence out there of Democrats being able to respond to what the Republicans are doing in the media. You know, so like when there's an article, it's just what the Republican has to say. You know, anytime there's criticism, it seems to be leveled at Voss, and it doesn't reach out there to the local representatives. So like in Rapids, you know, that Scott Klug guy, the guy who said he would never run for reelection or take per diem or whatever, who's been in there like, you know, a dozen years, like he's not being pummeled on a daily basis for the hypocrisies and the crime done by the Republicans down in Madison. It's left for Voss to take all that on. And I think that having more of a media presence, and thank goodness this is happening, I think is going to give, like, you know, more discussion of the issues, because right now it's just been one-sided in a lot of these places.
Scott Ross, wish we had more of you on the radio, man. Maybe we'll talk. Stick around, the Hump Day edition. We got the Empowered Caregivers at 7 o'clock. We've got Native Roots Radio at 6. Keep it locked right here, the Civic Media app. That is how all the Patriots consume. Thank you, Dan Kaufman. Thank you, Scott Ross. Thank you, Dom Ebone.
Kids, they're just different than us. They have no inhibitions, consider silverware optional, and can find fun anywhere. And when kids get really sick, they're different than us too. Until now, children diagnosed with blood cancer have been treated like many adults. Not anymore. The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society proudly introduces the Dare to Dream Project, transforming treatment and care through advocacy, education, and the largest global clinical trial for kids with blood cancer. For the first time, a specific treatment can be matched to a specific type of cancer in a specific child. It'll be the biggest medical advancement for little patients in history. Dare to dream with us. Support the Dare to Dream Project and all the work that the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society does at LLS.org.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC